on, wrestling fans? Welcome back to another edition of the Pro Wrestling Powwow Podcast. Chris Schubert here with you on the phone line, as always, good friend, and my co-host, Jesse Bork. Jesse, what's going on?
Chris, what's going on? We got a pay-per-view this Sunday, but we had some SmackDown and NXT to talk about. And I think you talked about this last show. The shows are kind of running parallel to one another right now. SmackDown and Raw are kind of stuck in the same boat.
Yeah, SmackDown was very similar to Raw, but like part of me likes SmackDown more, and I can't figure out why.
That's interesting. Yeah. So we're jumping right into it, and we start with Kevin Owens' highlight reel.
What? You're just going to skip over all those promos by the ladies?
They said nothing noteworthy.
Okay, fair enough.
They said nothing noteworthy. And I've noticed that's like a SmackDown thing, even since the split. They kind of do these weird promos. Anyway, Kevin Owens' highlight reel, which, if nothing else, leads us back to Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, when Jericho gets done being a rock star in a month. And we start the show, and we get Owens, and then we get Shinsuke Nakamura interrupting him. And, he's really Owens' guest, I suppose, so he's not really quite interrupting him. Baron Corbin is the one doing the interrupting, and, you know, Baron Corbin comes down to the ring and starts saying basic things about him being a bad guy, and then we see him mauling Sami Zayn, and Sami Zayn is mysteriously fine, or miraculously fine.
Yeah.
Okay. A week later. It would have been good to keep him off TV for a week. Like, mm-hmm. Baron beat the crud out of Sami Zayn, now he's off TV. Like, but when you just bring him back next week and he's, like, ready for a fight, it's like, then what was the point of Baron's beatdown? You know, he's okay. And like, that was the biggest thing that I think has bothered me with both Raw and SmackDown. I want to see if you agree with me here. They've tried to sell us every week on the fact that momentum is so important. Going, like, no, it's not. Like, at one point, Tom Phillips asked JBL, like, how important is momentum heading into Money in the Bank? I'm like, not even a little important. Like, it's not even, there's just literally something for these guys to do on TV until the big match, the multi-man match at the pay-per-view. It's the same thing on Raw. There's a momentum. The hell is that? It's stupid.
Yeah, and this segment bothered me for a couple of reasons. The match itself bothered me, and I'm pretty sure you can guess why.
It's half an hour.
Yeah, and the fact that this was not, look, I am not in any way trying to take anything away from Shinsuke Nakamura, but his strength is not going to be cutting promos on the main roster. So putting him out there with a one-on-one promo with Kevin Owens and then adding Baron Corbin to the mix, you did Shinsuke Nakamura no favors in this segment, and he did not come off as good as he probably should have.
Yeah, I'll agree with that too. I think like there was a point when Owens was really like trying to understand what he was saying, and he like was trying to like freestyle, because I think that's where Owens' strength is in his promos, is when he freestyles. And he'll hear something and he'll just come off the whim and say, and you could see him like, what did Nakamura say? Like, he like couldn't really like hear him, and then Zayn had to come in for the save, and it was just disjointed. And I know you probably did not like the match because of Owens taking the pinfall for the second consecutive week.
Can I expand on this?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've pinned, just go with me here, Jesse. Kevin Owens, the United States champion, has been pinned twice by Shinsuke Nakamura in tag matches, right?
Yeah.
Logically, I could make the argument Shinsuke Nakamura deserves a U.S. title match, right?
I think that may be the route we're going for.
Okay.
SummerSlam.
No, hold on. I've laid out to you that Shinsuke Nakamura is a legitimate threat for the United States champion, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So next week on SmackDown, I'm getting a non-title version of Shinsuke Nakamura against Kevin Owens. So now, one of two things are going to happen. Either you are going to pin your champion in a non-title match, which you know I hate, for the third week in a row, or you're going to have Shinsuke Nakamura lose a random match on SmackDown to the United States champion. You're doing no guys any favors here. So when you do ultimately, if we take what you're saying, and I tend to agree with you, that they're going down this path of Nakamura-Owens, why am I going to care? Because we would have already have seen it. It wouldn't be for the championship, and it's going to make – none of the guys are going to come out the other side of the match looking good, right? Nakamura wins. It's sort of this case of, okay, you've pinned Owens 3 weeks in a row. I don't care anymore. And I just look at Owens, and I'm like, man, Owens doesn't look like a worthy champion. If Owens beats Nakamura, I'm going to be annoyed because Nakamura shouldn't lose for a very long time. So this is a really weird spot they've put themselves in, and I knew this is the direction they were going with it. And now for two straight weeks, Kevin Owens gets pinned clean in the middle of the ring, no interference. No hooligans, nothing. No shenanigans. Shinsuke Nakamura pins Kevin Owens, and now we get this random non-title match next week that means nothing.
Well, here's my thing that I've become bothered with. In maybe I'm getting cynical. When you have a match like Owens Nakamura next week, a non-title match, I'm not even excited for that.
No.
Because I know it's going to end with, you use the word shenanigans. This isn't going to be a clean ending. And if it is, it's not going to, and like, to me, I just can't see how putting this on TV for the first time these guys will have a one-on-one match is doing them a service, right? When you look at a match like Owens Nakamura for next week's SmackDown, I know this is not going to be a 20-minute classic that they're going to let somebody pin somebody. It screams disqualification or people running in or whatever the case may be. It's not going to be a straight-up Kevin Owens, Shinsuke Nakamura. And I think that's where the problem lies right now with the WWE product, is that we oversaturate these matches and these multi-man matches that we have on both Raw and SmackDown coming up on pay-per-views, and we just get the guys in the ring with each other, and it's so oversaturated. You can't do this many times. There's too much time.
Here's another thing that I'll say, because one of the common things that people who are defending WWE will say is, well, wins and losses don't matter. Well, they actually do matter. They may not matter in the sense that you think they do, whereas guys should win matches and continue to win matches in a feud because it puts them over and they 50-50 booking and all that kind of stuff. But where this does matter is if you continue to trade wins and losses, and wins and losses do technically matter, now when you get to a point where the feud is coming to its crescendo, coming to its ending, I no longer care because you've given away wins to both sides. Like, for example, the Hardys in the lead-up to Extreme Rules have gotten the advantage time and time again. And that is a case of them constantly winning matches along this feud. But because you've given away so many finishes along the road, I don't care about Sunday's steel cage match. I'm over it. So imagine a world where next week it's Shinsuke Nakamura, Kevin Owens, the main event of SmackDown Live for the United States Championship, and they let it be a clean finish. And you know what? If they want the belt to stay on Kevin Owens earns a victory against Shinsuke Nakamura. You know what? Shinsuke Nakamura is not going to fade into obscurity. He is still going to be the most over thing WWE has right now. And if they do want to go for SummerSlam 2 months down the road for a program, guess what? You throw Nakamura in a triple threat United States number one contenders match, and he wins it, and all of a sudden he gains legitimacy again, okay? So it's not like one loss in a title match is going to ruin Nakamura. Now, would I have him lose? No, but you can have him lose and it be okay. What you can't have is your United States Championship, the championship that you're trying to elevate. You just had Kevin Owens and AJ Styles, for goodness sake, main event, or be one of the marquee matchups for your last pay-per-view, and you're going to have that champion lose 3 weeks in a row. Why should I care that he's a champion?
Yeah, I think you make a lot of good points there. And transitioning from one championship to another, after Nakamura and Zayn get the win, we get the Usos coming out, and they're being the Usos, and they're talking about how their H is, you know, and all that good stuff. And they get interrupted by The New Day, who's back in Atlanta. And I don't know why we didn't think about this. I feel like as soon as they came out, I was like, I feel dumb. Like, I was like, I feel like I forgot about them, and that I was like hoping for Breezango to get the belts and everything. And then I was like, I feel like I forgot about the New Day. Like, this seems so obvious. Now the Usos have a little momentum. The Usos look good. They beat a formidable. I mean, they made the Fashion Police look a little stupid. But the Usos, they retain their belts in two matches. They look strong, and now they're facing the New Day. I'm excited for this match. And Xavier goes on to announce there'll be a tag team championship match at Money in the Bank, New Day versus the Usos. I'm excited for this match.
Yeah, I guarantee you next week we get Big E versus Jimmy Uso in a singles match, and I'm just going to be furious.
Well, I'm okay because in this instance, there's not a lot of time. This is an old rivalry, but it's refreshed because, you know, they're on different sides now, and I'm okay because there's a small window of time here.
Sure.
If you had announced this match on the last episode of SmackDown in April and then tried to build it till the middle of June, then you're in trouble. But there's a small time window here.
You mean May, right? Not April.
No, that's what I'm saying. If they had done this at the end of April, right?
Yeah.
Because they did this on the last episode of May, and now the pay-per-view is in a couple weeks, so they only have a few weeks. If they had tried to start this rivalry at the end of April and then taking it all the way to the middle of June with like 6 weeks, I would have thought that would not work.
Yeah, no, I'm totally in agreement with you. We get a recap of the Punjabi celebration. Then we get the latest edition of the Fashion Files, which may have been my favorite. Also, did you notice how there was a silhouette of Summer Rae? That's who that was.
Really?
At the end, the silhouette before Tyler Breeze came out as the girl. That was Summer Rae.
I would enjoy very much that if Summer Rae helps the Fashion Files.
Yes, I need Summer Rae to be a part of the Fashion Files immediately.
Yeah.
They don't have anything for her to do. This is the perfect thing for her
to do. I think my favorite part of the show, and I it was not until the tag match later, but I'll give it away now in case I forget. When during the match, Tom Phillips goes, did anyone else notice? He's like, he said something about cologne and the colognes, and I just thought it was the funniest thing. During the Fashion Files, Fandango sprays the cologne on himself, and then he decides to lick it, and he like is like tasting, like he's describing what the scents are. And then Tom Phillips says something about like cologne, like the cologne that he's wearing,
yeah.
And then like they're facing the colognes. I thought that was the funniest part of the entire show.
Yeah, it was really good how they set this up. Like when he first said cologne, I was like, okay. And then he's like, I know who did this, and I'm like, who did this? I totally didn't make the connection.
Yeah, 100% true. Until Phillips said it, I was like.
Yeah, it was so well done. Like I didn't even notice it.
Right,
it was
right.
So good. And then we get the Fatal 5-Way Elimination match, which actually never takes place. And this was really interesting because when they announced this match, I was like, huh, I know they're doing a Women's Money in the Bank match. I'm like, but how are they going to get there? Like, they're going to have somebody win this match, and then, like, the rest are going to be in the money. Like, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And then they did this angle where they just beat the living crap out of each other, and Charlotte puts Natalya through a table, and then Shane goes, yeah, we're going to have a Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. And I'm like, yeah, I'm hyped for this now. This was great. The build to this was awesome.
Yeah, I wrote last week, or I addressed the rumor, because this rumor's been floating around for a couple weeks now, and when I wrote it last Sunday, I knew about the match that was coming up on Tuesday, and I was like, I don't know, it seems like they might hold off, because if you actually look at the SmackDown roster, there's virtually no one you could add to this match. It's not like we're not thinking of anyone. There's like Eva Marie, Nikki Bella, and somebody else I'm not thinking of, but that are like technically on the SmackDown roster.
Ooh, what if Lana makes her debut in the Money in the Bank ladder match?
It was Lana was the other one, thank you. But I was like, so if you pick one of the women to face Naomi, then like a five-person or a five-woman, five-lady Money in the Bank match, I was like, I don't know how it's going to work. So, and then this match very quickly, I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I think this is a pretty clear example of booking. Like, if they knew they were going to have it, they could have announced it. But they were like, ooh, let's try to get a number one contender. And then they were like, eh, but we really would rather have Money in the Bank because Naomi's now going to not defend her title at this, unless Lana somehow shows up. So Naomi's not going to be defending the Women's Championship, which I think they're not really in love with. I think they would like to have a match for her at Money in the Bank, because she is, you know, she's over right now. But yeah, I agree with you. I'm really excited for this, and I think you could, like, make a case for pretty much everyone other than Tamina. I mean, you probably even could make a case for Tamina. But you make a case for every single one of these women to win. I have no idea who they're going
to
give this.
Carmella better win this with the help of James Ellsworth to get her over as a heel.
Carmella was my pick, but then I was like, well, you're thinking because I don't. Are they going to give it to two heels? Because I'm sticking with Baron Corbin. So Carmella and Baron Corbin gonna have two heels carrying briefcases around.
So here's what I'm thinking. So you know how much of a fan of Becky Lynch as I am. And I think that she's the best babyface WWE has in terms of women's division.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would do is have Carmella win the Money in the Bank briefcase and not cash in for a while. Have Becky Lynch earn an opportunity against Naomi and have it be like a friendly competition type thing, build up that storyline. Have Becky Lynch get the moment of regaining her championship, but then Carmella's right there to cash in. Like, and then do the Daniel Bryan thing. Remember when he won the title at SummerSlam and Triple H screwed him? Like, you don't have to go that far, but have Becky Lynch have her moment of winning the title again and then have it completely taken away. And then, boom, instant storyline.
You know what I would have – the direction that I probably would have gone here is – I just think it's going to be logistically a little difficult, especially on a show like SmackDown. You're going to have one, either the male winner or the female winner, cash in their Money in the Bank relatively quickly. Because I think that's a lot of, like, oh, God, somebody could cash in right now, like, going around on the show. What I probably would have done is I would have taken, made it a six-person match, and I would have taken three women from SmackDown and three women from Raw. And it would have just been, you know, you can get any women's championship shots you want, and I would have let somebody take it back over to Raw just so we can have a briefcase on each show. That's probably the direction I would have gone.
Fair enough. I think this is interesting because I would love it if – because I laid out my case for Orton winning at Money in the Bank and Corbin cashing in. So you're worried about two heels having the briefcase. If they get rid of one heel right away, like having Corbin cash in that night and become champion, which I would absolutely yell about, but –
that's even too quick. I know this sounds dumb in the era of Jinder Mahal now, but to me, they did that last year.
So yeah, with Ambrose.
I, just, Right, but what I'm saying is I don't think the WWE looks at it like, oh, we've done that storyline before, let's not do it, you know? So I don't think it's like, wow, we haven't had... I mean, who was the last guy to hold it for a decent amount of time?
Seth?
Ian Sandow, I feel like.
No,
maybe.
Seth.
Seth
held it from Money in the Bank to WrestleMania. He almost held it a year.
Okay, yeah. But like you saw, I mean, that elevated Seth. So, I mean, if they're going to go that direction, you know, but...
So Breezango beats the Colognes in another comedy match, which was awesome. We get Randy Orton cutting a promo that had a very awkward ending with the back and forth with Jay. It was very weird.
This was, you know what, actually, and I think you'll agree, this was weird, but it was also better than, like, a match.
Yes, yeah, and keeping Jinder on a pre-tape promo is probably the best thing you can do for him.
Yeah.
So.
All right, main event, Styles, Ziggler.
They messed this up.
Felt like to me.
They messed this up.
That's what I hear. We'll get to that in a moment. But the overall match, very excited about it because these are two of my favorite guys that are in-ring workers. And I'll say one thing. Dolph Ziggler, I know it seems unlikely that he's probably going to win Money in the Bank because they're hyping him up as being the only guy that's won. He needs to be a major player on SmackDown. This is the perfect opportunity with the current main event scene on SmackDown. There is no reason Dolph Ziggler cannot be in the title picture.
I agree.
None. It makes no sense for him as a heel to not be in the title picture.
I agree. But this ending should have had AJ Styles' foot on the ropes, and it didn't.
Yeah, it was very weird. And the match, to me, felt like it never got out of first gear.
No,
like,
it was really weird.
I looked at the clock, and I'm like, they're not going to have time to do this. Like, these two guys need to have a lot of time, be able to build into the match. I just looked at it, was like, they are not going to have enough time to do what they want to do at all.
Yeah, it was so weirdly paced, and, like, I was excited for it when they announced it. I was like, oh, these two guys can go. This will be really good. And then, like, then Ziggler cut his typical heel promo, like, before the match, and I was like, okay, you're starting to lose me here. And then they had the match, and, like, it was really weird, and I kind of looked down for a second and looked up, and, like, Ziggler hit that super kick and won, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, and talk about the end of the match. So I've seen contradicting reports that say that Styles was trying to get his foot on the rope.
He had his foot on the rope. He had his foot on the rope, and Ziggler pulled him so hard that his foot came off the rope. I think they wanted it to be a controversial victory, but now it's just AJ Styles got pinned clean by Dolph Ziggler.
And it looked like at the end that, like, he put his foot back on the rope.
Yeah, like
so
after
like, he... And people were, like, very confused.
Yeah.
If you go back and listen to the crowd reaction... Like, I watched it twice because it looked very awkward, and the crowd, like, didn't react.
Yeah, it was really
it
odd.
They were like, oh! They, like, gasped more than anything.
Yeah, it was really odd. So this was an okay show. Like, it just kind of – like, I'll use the word you used for – the phrase you used for this main event. Like, I never thought this show got out of first gear overall.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem, again, with the way SmackDown is organized right now is the time constraint they have because – I get what they were doing with the opening promo, but then the match on top of it took half an hour of the show. And then Styles Ziggler took another, what was it, about 18 minutes? So half of your show was on one match. So we haven't seen Ty Dillinger in weeks. We haven't seen Luke Harper in weeks. I mean, it's just, I get the idea of you have a single brand pay-per-view, so you really need to hype up what you need to hype up. Money in the Bank is going to be a three-horse race, you know, maybe a four-horse race. You include the tag title match. But you just have to – the undercard is so underutilized right now that I think SmackDown's running into trouble with that where they really need – they could use a little extra time for some other guys.
Yeah. So you want to move on to NXT?
Yeah, and I know you loved the opening.
Oh, this was great. This promo was amazing.
Yeah. I actually thought this was a really good way to utilize like a real life event that because Ciampa did injure his foot.
Yeah, at a house show.
At a house show before, and there were rumors about if he would actually be able to go.
Yeah, so turning
at TakeOver Chicago.
Yeah,
and I'll admit that I don't actually know. I'm sure you have more info than I do. His knee is apparently messed up.
Yeah, torn ACL.
Yeah, so we had been hyping Gargano Ciampa. At TakeOver Brooklyn, but it appears that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to Ciampa coming back because I think this is the Ciampa that probably works best as a singles wrestler. Is Psycho Killer Ciampa.
Yeah, this is a great promo. It was easy to understand as his reasoning. You may not agree with it. You may think it's dumb. That's what he's supposed to do as a heel. But it made sense. It was logical. They played the injury into it, which I thought was even better. And again, didn't need Gargano to be there. Let Gargano be away from television for a while. There's no need to hotshot this angle. They have plenty of time. And they're going to do this slowly and build it properly like they always do. And this was a great beginning to that. So I thought this was really well done. Then we get Danny Burch against the Bruiserweight, the new United Kingdom champion, Pete Dunne. Tell me about this one, Jesse Bork.
You know, they're trying to build up a couple more UK guys here with Danny Burch. And, of course, everyone loves Pete Dunne, especially the crowd reaction to him coming off that match was fascinating to see in Full Sail. I love his new entrance music. I think we're getting there with Pete Dunne. I really think we're close to, you're seeing a new superstar kind of in the making. I feel like maybe I overreact a little bit to the UK stars, because I think that's something we wrestling fans have a problem keeping in check, is if a guy is a star in a certain niche area, right, we get really excited, right? Let's say what it is. You know, the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, ROH, New Japan, we're obsessed with them because they're so cool.
Uh-huh.
But if you all of a sudden put them in the WWE, they're not that cool anymore, right? So Pete Dunne is awesome, and he's really cool for UK wrestling. If you put Pete Dunne on the main roster, like, I'm just concerned what they would do with him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, again, it's the disconnect between NXT and WWE. I'm afraid of anybody going to the WWE that I enjoy, because they'll more likely be neutered and watered down, you know?
Oh, it actually got cooler when he went to the main roster somehow. But
yeah.
Other than that, I really don't know.
I do have to add in that right before this match, they had NXT champion Bobby Roode in a car, and he talked about his glorious celebration. And remember how I yelled about how he was going to be on NXT this week with a celebration?
Well, I hyped this multiple times. It didn't make any sense.
No, it's made perfect sense. Now we're too good. We're not good enough for his celebration. He's too good for us. It was perfect. They're gonna keep doing this, and he's not going to show up for like weeks now. It's going to be great.
Speaking of perfect, talk about your boy, the Velveteen Dream.
This I cannot hate a gimmick more than I hate this thing.
This is awful.
This is very terrible. What is not terrible, what they did with Andrade Cien Almas last night, or on Wednesday night.
I didn't hate this, actually.
No, this is good, because it plays into the story of his extracurricular activities.
Yeah, but if Percy Watson says that he knows a lot of Orlando nightclub owners one more time,
If Percy Watson speaks one more time, I'm going to be annoyed.
Percy Watson apparently knows every single nightclub owner in the greater state of Florida, and he just every week likes to remind us. He's like, you know, I know a lot of nightclub owners. Like, what? He's told the same story like four times. It's like when you go somewhere and there's always that guy that tells the exact same story. You're like, dude, I've heard this story. Like, I don't care. Like,
yeah,
that's how I feel about Percy Watson on Mike, though.
Yeah, he's very bad. We get the iconic duo with Ember Moon. Then we find out that we're going to get Asuka in an elimination match for her women's championship against Nikki Cross and Ruby Riott in 2 weeks. So
I guess that's cool.
Yeah, I guess that's...
Funny, the difference is, like, NXT's like, yeah, title's on the line, triple threat match. Like, SmackDown, they're never just like, oh, yeah, here you go. Like, it kind of goes back to that point where I'm like, oh, like, Asuka's going to win, but I'm like, cool, you know?
Yeah, but it's obviously going to set up another angle, like,
that's the
thing.
But I'm still excited, because the title's on the line, and they clearly have something in mind.
Yeah. Hideo Itami, Oni Lorcan next week.
Also prediction. Hideo Itami can go either he loses, and then he's going to go bonkers, or he's going to go bonkers to win.
I like option one.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I like option one a little bit better. Cassius Ohno and Roderick Strong against Sanity. We get the return of No Way Jose.
I'm not sure I care much about this rivalry, because you just replaced Ty Dillinger with Cassius Ohno, and it's been going on for so long.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. This match was very basic. There's not a whole lot to talk about. Ohno kind of gets dominated, and Roddy gets the hot tag. So go figure, the 275-pounder gets his ass kicked, and then Roddy comes in for the hot tag. You know, everybody looks fine. Sandy looks okay. But they don't have anything to do. It's like it's kind of everyone in this rivalry is just like, we don't know what to do, go. You know, and they haven't done anything for 4 months. Roddy's been stuck in the same thing. No Way Jose hadn't even been here, but before that he was stuck in the same thing. Cassius Ohno, they don't have a lot to do, so it's like, here you go. You know, so that's how I feel. I'm ambivalent to this rivalry. I'm kind of like, eh.
Also, they're not making Sanity look very good.
They are making Sanity?
No, they aren't.
No, right. How many walls in a row is this?
Three or four?
Eric Young lost the pay-per-view. Yeah. They lost the tag match.
Didn't they lose the week before?
Yeah. It's like Sanity was there to kick ass, and Killian Dane was like this new beast, and now it's kind of like they hit like a roadblock, and now they're just stuck.
Roadblock, end of the line?
Roadblock, end of the line.
That's it for NXT.
Yeah.
It's a quick episode.
I don't know. Super, super short show this week, I think. But yeah. Do you have any last thoughts on Payback this Sunday?
It would actually be Extreme Rules this Sunday.
Yeah, Extreme Rules. Yeah. It's going to be as good as Payback, I bet.
Yeah, okay. The Fatal 5-Way is the only match I'm excited about. Anything
else? They do in the cage. I'm interested to see the cage. The Ambrose mismatch, inconsequential, really, at the end of the day, which sucks. It's going to be good, but you're going to, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not expecting much. My expectations are very low for this pay-per-view. So more likely than not, they will exceed them, and I will be content with the $9.99 that I spent this month for the WWE Network.
Yeah, and I'll say one last thing. I think we didn't touch on this during our predictions. If we're going to go the short route with Brock Lesnar, like if we're going to go like 1 month, and I've seen that there are rumors over the last couple of days of, I've seen that there's guys planned for Lesnar. And I've been a good boy about not looking at it because I don't want anything spoiled, right? Mm-hmm. I don't go and look at the – what I do is I look at the betting odds after the pay-per-view so I know how to but I won't look at it before the pay-per-view. I don't want to spoil anything for myself. So I do a decent job with that. But if we're going to go the short route with Lesnar, I think Bray Wyatt makes the most sense. But the question becomes, who the heck is taking a pinfall that's not Bray Wyatt in this match? So, again, are you sticking with Seth Rollins? Is that your final prediction?
Yeah, I'm going with Seth Rollins.
All right. I'm sticking with Finn Balor, but I think the short route, you can do Bray Wyatt. He can one-off, and everybody else can go do other things. But ultimately, we'll see.
Yeah, it should be a rather interesting pay-per-view to see what direction they go in, because I think you can make a case for all five guys if you really wanted to. So we'll see. But that's it for us this week. We'll be back on Tuesday with our Extreme Rules review and Monday Night Raw. Have a good weekend, everybody.